Alaska State Troopers say a 45-year-old Norvik man is in custody after pointing a semi-automatic rifle at a village public safety officer. Arthur Ballett is charged with assault and is in custody in Kotzebue. Troopers say the VPSO was responding to a report of a disturbance at a Norvik home late Tuesday. Troopers say as the VPSO neared the home, Ballett aimed an AR-15 at him and threatened to shoot him. Troopers say another man, Oscar Mollick, grabbed the rifle, struggling with Ballett. Troopers say Mollick took the weapon inside and the VPSO arrested Ballett. It's unclear if Ballett has an attorney yet. The incident comes 2 weeks after VPSO Thomas Madol was fatally shot in Manicotic. 42-year-old Leroy Dick Jr. is being charged with first-degree murder in Madol's death. Village public safety officers would be allowed to carry firearms under a bill introduced in the State House. VPSOs serve as first responders in rural communities located hours or more, depending on the weather, from the nearest state trooper post. They do not carry guns, but they do get other equipment. Representative Bryce Edgman says he does not think it's fair or reasonable to continue to have VPSOs walk unarmed into potentially dangerous situations. The Dillingham Democrat is the prime sponsor of House Bill 199, which has at least 13 other representatives, Republicans and Democrats, as co-sponsors. The bill would allow for VPSOs who otherwise meet minimum standards and training to carry firearms.
3, 2, 1, rip!
About 500 people took to the Capitol steps in Juneau yesterday for one of several rallies statewide against Governor Sean Parnell's plan to cut oil taxes. Anchorage Democrat Johnny Ellis, the Senate Minority Leader, led the crowd in tearing up symbolic checks from the state to oil giants ConocoPhillips, BP, and Exxon. The amount of the checks, $5.5 billion, is the estimated amount of the proposed tax cut, which opponents call a giveaway. Anchorage Democratic Senator Hollis French said the governor's previous oil tax proposals did not pass muster with a bipartisan Senate majority. This version, noted French, barely passed a Republican-led Senate on an 11-9 vote.
Now you have to stand up and you have to make your voices heard and you have to let the governor on the third floor know this is a bad idea. Do you like this idea?
Governor Parnell and other proponents of cutting taxes say the state needs to do something to stimulate oil production, which has declined since the late 1980s. But one of the loudest cheers of the rally went to Madeline Handley, a student at Juneau Douglas High School, who said that the proposed tax cut threatens her future.
If you don't get the best price you can for our oil and continue to save for the future, when my friends and I graduate from college in 2020, there will be no savings and less oil. So our oil and our savings will be almost gone. There will be no jobs for my friends and I here. This is our future. Please don't give it away.
The rallies held across the state were organized by the nonpartisan group Backbone, which formed in 1999 to fight the proposed merger of ARCO and BP. It restarted last year to fight against cuts to oil taxes. Meanwhile, the tax cut proposal, Senate Bill 21, is set for a hearing next in the House Finance Committee. The bill cleared the House Resources Committee in an early morning vote yesterday. The committee amended the bill to include a 33% base tax rate. That's higher than the 25% in the governor's original bill, but lower than the 35% in the version that passed the Senate last month. That change might be significant because it's thought that raising the base tax rate to 35% got Fairbanks Republican Senator Click Bishop to support the bill. Without his vote, it would have failed in the Senate. The Senate Finance Committee has advanced a $2 billion omnibus spending package. It includes $1.8 billion for capital projects next year and nearly $197 million in additional items for the current budget year, including funding to continue to advance the Susitna-Wantana Hydro Project. Senate Finance Committee co-chairman Kevin Meyer says this is his fifth capital budget and was the hardest one. It comes as legislative leaders and the governor seek to limit spending amid declining oil production and the prospect of an oil tax reform bill passing. After the Senate votes on the budget package, it will go to the House for consideration. Around this time of year, Juneau is known for the bustle of the legislative session, the committee hearings, press conferences, and the many, many speeches on the floor of the House and the Senate. But after hours, some members of the Capitol gang can be found making noise of a different variety. APRN's Alexander Gutierrez has more on the story.
Spank the Dog has one last night before their big show, and the guitarists are working out twangy covers of Beatles songs. They're crammed in a slightly dingy downtown office, furnished with an old couch and a TV playing the public affairs station on mute. It's no garage, but it'll do. Spank the Dog is a pickup band, and it's been a while since this specific group of guys played together. Because they have an ever-changing roster, it's worth running through the current lineup.
John Bitney, guitar.
Paul Foose, vocals and guitar.
Dan Sadler, bass, and sometimes I sing.
Tanika Hansen, vocals.
And their day jobs.
We're professional politicians. No, I'm a lobbyist.
I'm an amateur politician.
I'm a legislative aide.
Not at rehearsal, Senator Pete Kelly on drums, and University of Alaska President Pat Gamble, another guitarist. Spank the Dog has been a consistently intermittent feature of Juneau's music scene for more than a dozen years. As the legislature changes, so does the band. Bitney is one of the anchor members, and he says that Spank the Dog has sort of an open-door policy toward anyone affiliated with the legislature.
This is our mental health program for session.
He can't count the number of people who have played with them over the years. When it comes to drummers, it's basically a revolving door.
We found the movie Spinal Tap is true. They come, they go, they die, they go to jail, whatever the case may be. We've probably been through about 30 different iterations, I'd say.
But for all of the legislators and lobbyists and staffers who have played with the band, Spank the Dog is decidedly unpolitical. They mostly stick to covering classic rock, and when they play, their turnout is bipartisan. Pete Kelly, a Republican, says he even earned a fan in Ethan Berkowitz, who led the House Democrats for years.
He walks in, and this is, again, right after I had left the legislature, I was working for the university. So Ethan and I had been working as opposing legislators for quite a while. He walks in, and we're playing, you know, Pink Floyd or something like that. And he says, "Oh my gosh, I'm so conflicted. Pete Kelly's up there playing our music."
The night of Spank the Dog's recent performance, the Hangar Ballroom is packed. The show is a benefit for a Wounded Warriors program at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, and it seems like half the people who work in the Capitol building are there. For Pat Gamble, university president, guitarist, and retired Air Force general, this is somewhat intimidating.
First time playing with a band in over 40 years, so I'm a little nervous.
He's got a receptive audience, though. At least a few people made an effort to change out of their work clothes, and even Senate President Charlie Huggins is ready to let loose.
I'm ready to rock. Let's see your version.
By the time they're a couple of songs in, the band looks just as relaxed as their Hawaiian shirts would suggest. People start dancing, and everyone seems to be having a good time. When the band takes a break for the fundraising part of the night, most people stick around. They raise $25,000. It's almost enough to make you forget that you're in the thick of Alaska's political frenzy. Even bassist Dan Sadler feels that way.
I'm just Dan here. I'm just the bass player. I'm not representing Sadler, and I like it that way.
In Juneau, I'm Alexander Gutierrez.
And Spank the Dog has at least one more performance before the end of the session. It's coming up tomorrow night at 7:30. At the Viking. You're listening to Morning Edition here on KTOO Juneau. It's 7:30.